The scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 10, 3 through 10. Hebrews 10, verses 3 through 10. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to you to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all.
Thank you, brother. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I've missed you all 2 months, but I've missed you all. And it's good to be back here with you all. I bring greetings from the Cherokee Hills Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. It's in the northwest part of Oklahoma City, for those that have been there, by Bethany and War Acres, the area. So I bring greetings from the church there. When I got there, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here 2 months, but at least I'll learn more English, more songs in English, so I could come back and be able to lead more songs in English. Well, when I get there, they told me, we got a Spanish group. Could you help us with the Spanish group? I'm like, oh, okay. So I had to work 2 months with a Spanish group, which was all right. It felt great helping the brothers out there with the Spanish group. But I'm gonna have to keep on learning the English hymns or songs here. But it was wonderful time with the brothers over there. So if any of you all ever go to Oklahoma City, I'll definitely give you all the information of where to meet them. They're wonderful. They were wonderful over there with me. This evening, brothers and sisters, I want to. As the scripture we just read, I want to talk about sacrifice, because the scriptures spoke about sacrifice, about Jesus Christ, and I want to talk about sacrifice because tomorrow, as we know, it's going to be Memorial Day, and in this nation, tomorrow we remember the death of those brave men and women who fought for our country and gave their lives for this country. It's going to be Memorial Day, and many people, they just see it as a long weekend to go shopping, but, I mean, without that sacrifice of those who gave their lives, we wouldn't even have an Independence Day. I mean, thanks to all those brave men and women who were willing to sacrifice, to give the most important thing they had, their lives, we have this country we live in that God has blessed us with. And it's sad because most young people nowadays, this is all they know. But if we go and we visit, a lot of us have visited many places. The good thing is many of us have been around the world or our prior military. We've seen that once you step out of these borders, it changes. The way people live changes. The laws that protect people change. It's a horrible world out there. People out there don't have the rights we have, don't have the freedoms we have. Our brother Tim just came from China, and I'm sure he could tell us a lot of examples. Lately in the past months, we've been seeing stories from North Korea, how people are suffering there. There's so many countries we could name, so many injustices. But thank God we're born here, we live here, where we have rights, we have freedoms. But they came at a price, at a very heavy price. And the lives of many of brave young men and women had to be, had, had to be sacrificed, to use the word, to have these beautiful blessings. But I want to connect this to the ultimate sacrifice that our Lord Jesus has done. Because it's very interesting how young men and women, well, men and women, because they're also, it doesn't have to be young, but men and women have given their lives. And it hasn't been easy. They have to leave their homes. They have to leave their wife and children and go across to other parts of the world and leave them, leave their family and children. And it's not an easy thing. When I served, I was single, so I really didn't understand what my other shipmates, because I used to be in the Navy, what they were experiencing, because I didn't have wife and children. Now that I have wife and children, I felt these 2 months, and they weren't easy. They weren't easy. So I could imagine what they had to feel for 6 months to a year, having to leave their families. So it's a lot of sacrifice, but they do it voluntarily. I personally, being a ex-military, I don't like when somebody in the TV is saying, "Oh, those kids." I mean, I didn't sign up as a kid. I was 18, and I'm sure everybody else here, we as adults decided to go, chose it, and it was a decision made by adults who knew what they were doing, who knew the choices they were making. So they volunteered. They volunteered, those people who gave their lives. And just that way, we're going to see how Jesus Christ also volunteered. He wasn't forced. He volunteered to be the sacrifice that we needed for our salvation. And we're going to see why he did it. We're going to see why he did it. Because just like soldiers who go out there, they don't go out there just for any reason. They have their reasons. So we're gonna talk about sacrifice and what a memorial is. And right here in front of the table of the Lord's Supper, we see the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." In Spanish, it's "Hacer esto en memoria de mí." Memoria is the same thing as memorial. You just put the O at the end. It's remembrance. That's what memorial is. We remember. We remember those people. We don't forget what they paid, what they gave. It's important. Just every Sunday morning we come, we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember his sacrifice. Remember, we read in Hebrews, our brother read in Hebrews, you know, those goats, those offerings that were being sacrificed, they weren't going to take away our sin. The only one that was going to be capable of doing that was who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was the ultimate sacrifice that was going to pay for our sins. And it's very important that we understand this first point, and understand that we as Christians understand what sacrifice is. Because that's what our Christian life is. We're here because of some sacrifice, the biggest sacrifice that the Son of God did for us. So sacrifice shouldn't be an easy, a hard thing for us to understand, because we see it every day when we come to church. We read about it. We sing about it. Because we're here thanks to God's love, his mercy, which required a sacrifice. Well, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, what did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb that was going to be sacrificed for us. The one that was going to take our place for our sins. That's what John said about Jesus. So we're going to start with opening our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verse 19. The scripture says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In remembrance of me. So every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. We're remembering Christ Jesus. We're remembering what he suffered for us, what he paid, the price he paid to rescue us. It's very important to understand that, brothers and sisters. Understand the sacrifice that Jesus had to be to save us. But just as those young men and women have given their lives voluntarily, Christ Jesus also gave his life voluntarily. And we see this in the Gospel of John, chapter 10.
John chapter 10, we're going to read from verses 14 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. I lay down my life, says Jesus, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus is being very clear here. Did the Father force him? No. He says, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. He chose to be our salvation. He chose to be that lamb. It says it clearly. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. No one takes it from me. He gave his life. We see how he gave his life for us. Voluntarily. Nobody forced him. Voluntarily, he chose to come and die for us. He chose to be that sacrifice. It's very important that we understand that, because people think, I killed him. No. You didn't kill him. We didn't. He had to choose to die for us. That's grace. That's that gift that we didn't deserve. He chose to come and die for us. And he tells us here that he lays down his life for us. Another thing that we said about these young men and women who have gone and fought and given their lives, and all those who are serving or who have served, you leave your family. You leave your wife, you leave your children. It's not an easy thing. And just as they leave somebody, Jesus Christ had to leave somebody too. Had to be separated from somebody. Who was that? From his Father. He had to be, and we see this in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. In Matthew 27, verse 46, and on the cross, Jesus says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Probably one of the hardest things for us to ever be able to understand will be this. For a moment, for a certain amount of time, Jesus was separated from the Father. But why? What was happening in that moment? He was carrying the sins of who? Of the world, of us. And that's probably what hurt him the most, being separated from the Father. But he did it for us. He went through that pain of having that separation, of being separated from the Father. But it had to happen because he was carrying our sins. He was carrying our sins, just like Isaiah 53. If we open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53, tells us clearly what's going on in that moment. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. In that moment where Christ is suffering from being separated from the Father, he's carrying with the sins of the world. He's carrying with our sins. He had to go through a pain of being separated from his Father, who he had been together for eternity. He has to suffer this for us, which apart from suffering in the body and giving his life for us, feeling that physical pain, now he's feeling the spiritual pain.
of being separated from the Father because he's carrying our sins, our iniquities. So we see this in Jesus, what he has done for us as our Savior. But we also see, brothers and sisters, there's also a reason why he did it. Just like soldiers, when they go out to the field, they have a reason, right? And all those people who have gone out to fight in wars from our time, they go out to fight for those they love. You know, even though the wars may be far away, they're still fighting for something that, to protect something that's home. Their wife, their children, their families. They go and they fight for that. Oh, back in the day when Roman times, it was a lot easier because usually you had the invaders right at your door, or the enemy right at their door. Now they're normally across an ocean or something, but normally that's what people would go out to fight. They were fighting for somebody they loved, for somebody they cared deeply for. When they did a survey about what's the, in the military, they did a survey of what was the last words that soldiers would say before they would die on the battlefield. And give me a second. I always get a little bit emotional in this part. The last words most of them say is, tell my wife I love her. That's what they would say. And it's interesting because when Jesus was at the cross, and Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him endured the cross. I like how our brother Tim has made us known that he didn't enjoy it. He had to endure it. He had to suffer. He had to suffer that pain. He didn't want to, but he had to endure it. But he had a joy before him. It says right there, for the joy set before him. What was that joy set before him, brothers and sisters? What was it that he was saving? Who was he saving? Ephesians, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, because that helps us understand what that joy was before him. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, we see the joy set before him. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. What was Jesus seeing? Who was he going to rescue? Who was he going to save? His wife. Who's his wife? The church. When Christ was going through that suffering, through that pain, he had you and me in his eyes. He had all his church, all his disciples, all of us in his eyes, in his sight. That's the joy he had of rescuing us, of saving us. It says right here, if we keep on reading, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. But holy and blameless. That's the reason why Christ was there. That's the reason, because he knew there was going to be people who were going to reject him. And there are, there always are. But he knew there was going to be me and you, the church, his wife, the body, his body. And he did it for us. He did it for us. He suffered for us in the cross. He bared that for us so that he could save us. Not only that, but so that he could cleanse us. So that he could take that sin, that blemish away from us, and so that we could be radiant. Beautiful, a beautiful church presented to him. That's wonderful how what he has done for us, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He did it voluntarily. He sacrificed himself for us voluntarily to save us. He had us in his eyesight when he was suffering. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget his sacrifice. That's what we do every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. We remember what he had to suffer for us. We have a memorial every Sunday, every first day of the week, to help us remember what he suffered for us. It was a very high price he had to pay to rescue us. I'm going to finish with one last verse. I'm going to please open your Bibles to John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love than, as Jesus has said, than laying down your life for who? For your friends. That's what he did for us. That's what he demonstrated for us on the cross. When he paid that ultimate price, that ultimate sacrifice, he showed us the greatest love there could be. Putting down your lives for your friends. The last time I was up here, I even went like 15 or 20 minutes over. This time I brought something, a short message. But it's important. It's a very important message to remember, obviously, every first Sunday and every day of our lives, to remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, what he paid for for saving us, what he did to save us. But also tomorrow, let's remember Memorial Day. Let's also not forget those brave young men and women who have given their lives for us over countless centuries now, for 200 years or more, who have given and laid down their lives for us. And many of us are here and have had family members who have laid down their lives. And let us have their families in our prayers, because many people will, Memorial Day is just another weekend for them. There are a Monday to go shopping. But there are many families out there who are going to be remembering those that they lost. And we have to be grateful, because if they hadn't given that sacrifice, we wouldn't be living in a nation where we're free to worship. Where that first freedom we have is the freedom of what? Of religion. To gather and worship. And you talk to Brother Tim, that's not the thing that happens in China. That's a whole different thing that's going on over there. But here, thank God, we have that blessing, but it's a blessing that has come at a high price. And let us please tomorrow pray for those who have lost a loved one, and pray for those who are still in harm's way. And let's not forget, because sadly the younger generations are. They're forgetting what it costs for them to have what they have now, the freedoms and the rights. And above all, let's not forget what Christ has done for us, what he has done for us on the cross. Our salvation was what made him go through that pain. The joy of seeing us saved for eternity, so that we may live at his side eternally. Thank you all, brothers and sisters, for your attention. I hope it was all easy to understand, and may God bless you all.